Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
Grab your copy of God's Word, and if you'll say this with me, say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word says I can do. And I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word, I'll receive God's Word, and I will obey God's Word because I love His Word. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look good on Vision Sunday. You do. You just look so good on Vision Sunday. If you'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, this message really is short, but it is important. It's called Look What God Is Doing. Today, as I said, is just a snapshot of those things that God is doing. In Proverbs 29:18, a very strategic and important scripture, but many of you have probably heard it all of your life. It says, where there is no vision, everybody say no vision, the people perish. But in Proverbs 29:19, in the Message, I like the way it reads. Let me read it to you. If people can't see, everybody say can't see. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, everybody say reveals, they are most blessed. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, God says it like this, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you see it? The question then is really, what is God up to? What's God doing? And really the most important question I could ask you today is, can you see it? What do you see God doing? 35% of our population here in the United States, only 35% has 20/20 vision, which basically means those that are in that 35 percentile can see clearly. They can see things as they are. How many of you have glasses or contacts? Put up your hands. Okay. How many of you had eye surgeries for corrective eye surgery? Well, that is just simply a picture that before you had the surgery or before you have the glasses or without your contacts, you have the potential of seeing in a distorted view, so to speak. But you need something to be able to see what's actually there. Some quick common vision problems, just eyesight type problems, is nearsightedness and farsightedness and tunnel vision, astigmatism and cataracts. Nearsighted vision is this. It's the most common of all of them. 40% of our U.S. population has this issue. They're not able to see things clearly unless they're close to your eyes. You can see things that are close to you, you just can't see far away. So I would say, spiritually speaking, if I could represent this symbolically, these eyesight problems in a spiritual way, I would say it like this. It can represent people who don't see the big picture. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this. It represents small vision. Write that in. Small vision. If you have notes today, you can take notes, but it represents small vision. Then I would say it even maybe more to the point, if you have heard this term, you can't see the forest for the trees, right? You can't see past where you have been to be able to see where you're going. Farsighted vision is a lot less common. It's only 10% of the U.S. population, but they are not able to see things clearly when they're close to the eyes. Right? If it's too close, it's blurry. It's some of you know what I mean when I say this. If you have this issue with your eyes, you take a pill bottle and your arm is not long enough to be able to read. What does that say? What does that say? There's an issue there. And spiritually speaking, this could represent those in a group who see a distant goal, right? They see it afar off. They just don't have either the desire or even the steps to achieve it. And so I would say it like this. The parable of the sower there in Mark 4 says it like this. They see the vision, they just don't perceive it. And that could represent maybe an obtuse view, or a better way to say it is a neglected vision, right? People that talk a good game, but they don't do anything about it. The next one is tunnel vision. And that's where your peripheral vision, you're limited by only those things you see right in front of you. And spiritually speaking, this could represent people that are narrow-minded, maybe, have a limited point of view, have limited vision. Then you've got things like astigmatism and cataracts. The astigmatism is a defect in the eye that causes a distorted vision. Cataracts actually cloud your vision, making it hard to see. It's kind of like looking through a fogged up window. You don't see clearly. I would say spiritually, it's having a clouded vision. But how many of you know God wants us to see with His eyes? His vision. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth that He might strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. He wants us to see His vision through His 20/20 lenses. He wants us to see what He sees. And there was a prophet of God named Elisha that was mentioned in the Old Testament. He was a great prophet of God. But his servant, the one who was attending to him, had a vision problem. He had an issue with his vision. And a matter of fact, they were in Dothan. There's two places where the city of Dothan is mentioned. One, of course, we already talked about it, Joseph, the statue. Come, let's go to Dothan, all of that. You may remember that in Genesis chapter 37, verse 17. But I want you to look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. And this is where the king of Aram was sent, or had sent an entire army to take out one dude. How many of you know you got to be ticked off to send an entire army with chariots and horses to go take out one dude? And his name was Elisha, the prophet of God. Look at what he says here in verse 13. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back, Elisha is at Dothan. Everybody say, Elisha's at Dothan. Verse 14, so one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. Check this out. They surrounded a city for one dude. Look at what it says. He said, when the servant of the man of God got up, early the next morning, he went outside and there were troops and horses and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. He said, don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than are on their side. And Elisha's servant said, you've been drinking? No, that's not what he said. It's not what he said. But clearly he could not see what Elisha saw in the spirit realm. Look at what it says. Because this servant had a vision problem, Elisha, a prophet of God, had to pray and ask the Lord to open his spiritual eyes that he could see. Look at this. He says, Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside and all around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots on fire. An angelic host surrounded them. Elisha prayed, Lord, his eyes aren't working right. He's got problems with his vision. Can I say it like this? The horses and the chariots were there on fire. Those angels, that angelic host, was there all the time. It wasn't that Elisha had to pray, Lord, help the chariots and horses and angels to come and protect us. They were already there. What he had to do was acknowledge and recognize it through prayer that his servant had a vision problem. So what is God wanting you to see? Well, he is wanting to see you to see his power, his might, his protection hand upon you and around you. But he also wants you to see something deeper. He wants you to see his heart for the lost and hurting and broken that are all around you. Some of us, we walk through the streets of this city or we walk around our homes or in our places of business and we're bumping into people and not even seeing them through the eyes of God. What does God see when he looks at Dothan? What does God want us to see when we look at Dothan? He wants us to reach the lost at any cost. and God's help to put a team of leaders around us. These team of leaders that we just released publicly, and those pastors who have gone above and beyond, that study to show themselves approved unto God, that go above and beyond in their studies just to make sure that not just that they're qualified, but that they are approved unto God. Workmen and women that don't need to be ashamed. And today what we're doing is, all we're doing is we're trying to prepare for a harvest. We're making an investment in this church, and these leaders are making an investment of blood, sweat, and tears and prayers so that we can see the kingdom of God advanced. Would you turn your attention to the screens again as we talk about the investment that we collectively are making in this city? Go ahead and take a look. Heart, one mind, one spirit, the unity of believers that commands a blessing. And so today, what we want is the blessing hand of God, not just for this church, not just for this city, but for the whole world. The Church of Jesus Christ is not built on the talents and personalities of a few people. It is built on His name, the name of Jesus, and the unity and heart and service of those who call Him Lord. So God, what He's doing in our midst is He's teaching us to not have small vision or neglected vision or limited vision or clouded vision. He wants us to have His vision, His purpose, His plan. Jesus commanded all of us, go and make disciples. And every week, week in and week out, we're working to make the kingdom of God strong and large, and in every way make disciples everywhere we go. What is God trying to show us? He's showing us that the church is not a building. The church is you and you and you. The church of God has not been built on a personality. It's built on each of us giving, sowing, serving. That each one of us in this room has a talent in some way, that our gifts being given unto the Lord, our time, our talent, our treasure being given and invested so that the work of the King can be released. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came on the scene in a unique way. And those early New Testament leaders, those disciples, they were launching into something brand new, a New Testament church. It was going to be a new way of doing things. And what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, there was something beautiful that happened when the Holy Spirit came. But before He showed up on the scene, Jesus simply said this. He said, I'm going to commission you to do something. He said, first, the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you in a new way. And you will be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and then my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the world. When it comes to God's vision, He assigned it and then He aligned it. He gave order to the steps of those faithful men who were receiving that call that day. What He was saying is simply this: first, start where you're at. You can't reach the masses. You can't reach the world until you reach right where you're at. So first, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bottom line, each one of us, we need to first be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to follow the same command that those disciples received, they are just as much for us today as they were 2,000 years ago, to go and make disciples. But that in that commissioning call, he said, first, make sure you reach your own city. And then, secondly, reach Judea and Samaria, which was the outer reaches of their community. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So I would say it, if Jesus were here today, he might say it like this. Reach Dothan first. That's your first commission. That's your first mandate. Reach Dothan first. The way I saw it in vision a number of years ago is I saw it as though God was taking a huge rock, right? The rock of Christ Jesus. He throws it in the middle of this huge pond. And the splash comes up in the very center. But what happens? These concentric circles cascade all the way to the shoreline, reaching the outer banks. And what I felt like God was saying in that vision, that moment, was simply this. God, if you're going to show up anywhere in the whole wide world, show up right here at Dothan first. Don't pass us by. Lord, if you're going to go anywhere, if you're going to do anything, if you're going to be miraculous in any way through healing and deliverance and salvation, start at Dothan first. Don't pass us by. And then as we receive that Holy Spirit, that commission from the Lord, what happens is we're able to touch then the second aspect of God's commission, which was simply this, Judea and Samaria. What is that? The state of Alabama. What is that? That's the United States of America. And then finally, what he said is, make sure to not forget the uttermost parts of the earth. We actually created a new logo that represents that. I'm going to have them put this on the screen. Some of you have seen this 100 times now, but you may not have even seen it. You've driven by with the new sign or saw it in print form. You didn't even recognize it, but I just want you to look at that circle. There's a reason why there's a circle around that D. That's because we are Circle City. Now, right there on the very center of that D, where there is a carved out number one, I don't know if you see that. Can you see that? If you see it, say, I see it.
I see it.
Okay. Now, if you don't see it, you might have astigmatism. You might have some kind of cataract. You might have... All right. That right there represents West Main Street. And then the outer circle, you see that inner circle right there, the half circle of the D, that represents Ross Clark Circle. Why? Because we are here to reach out to Dothan first. And when we do that, guess what happens? God lets us touch the world, the outer banks, from right here in Dothan. Can I just say it? God has a big plan, a big vision. He's establishing something, and we'll never stop reaching the unreached people groups globally. We have a global vision in 2017 and in 2018. We released new Bible translations. We literally funded new Bible translations to reach the outer banks. Those that don't even have a copy of God's Word, they're now translated in those languages because you gave and sowed hard-earned money into missions. And we released that through Fire Bibles and Kingdom Builders. And we've helped build Bible colleges in third world countries like Burma and Nepal just in 2017 and 18. We've helped to break the back of human trafficking through the Penny Story and through Project Rescue. We've dug wells, water wells in Africa to bring clean drinking water to those that are in need. We've provided disaster relief at home and around the world through Convoy of Hope. We've planted churches. As a matter of fact, $60,000 over the last 2 years has been given to plant churches in Alabama and around the world. Come on, that's worthy of celebration right there. Planting churches in India and in South America, all over the world. We launched our new internet campus. I talked about it 2 years ago. And we had never had that before, that medium before. I want to show you without promotion, without any promotion, because we wanted to make sure we were getting it right. We started in January. We wanted to make sure we were getting it right. We've had 60 days where we've been working on it to make sure it's right. I want you to look at this map. that we found. These are just simply the IP addresses of all of those who are watching us online. All around the world, average of 24 live IP addresses, 267 total. The farthest reaching, you may not be able to see it. You can see Vegas and Boston and near New York and Washington. It looks like Trump might be watching right now, so I just want to say we're praying. We're praying. In Texas, in Chicago, in Detroit. But look at this, all the way over in Poland and in Kenya. People are following us on. Come on now. And that's without promotion. This is just getting started. So what we believe is this. It's not just. Now, I'll give you two ways to support missions. Giving and going. Giving and going. We're talking. We give opportunities for home missions trips, like to the inner city of New York that we took last year, or overseas missions trips, the youth and the adults, Ecuador and Honduras and Kenya. We have more to come. As a matter of fact, if you want to know more about those couple of adult overseas missions trips that we're about ready to release, you can talk to Scott Markham about that, because he's been working on that. Friends, it's time. It's time for us to rise and shine, for his light has come. The glory of the Lord is lifting up each of us to know our commission, to know his command, to see his vision, and to do his work like never before. This is not a time to back up or slow down. This is a time to move forward and let God be all that he's calling us to be here in the state of Alabama, in the city of Dothan. You've heard us say it so many times, you're probably sick of it. But we want you to hear it so many times. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Jesus was questioned by the leaders and officials. They were teachers of the law and Pharisees. He was asked the question, what's the most important commands? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, the law and the prophets, basically the whole Old Testament, what they knew, the law and the prophets, all balance. They hang on these four words. Love God, love people. What is it? Love God, love people. Say it with me. Love God, love people. That's our mandate. And I'm going to call our worship team up if you'd come at this time. We here at Dothan First just simply want to find out what God's doing and then get on board. That's all we want. We want to know what he's saying and be a lighthouse to lost and hurting people. That's why we have that Change Your World sign on the way out of these doors. So you can take one of those cards, we call them touch cards, bringvitation cards, pay it forward cards, so that you can reach out to our city in a new and exciting way by loving them, caring for them, romancing the city, reaching the city for Christ in every way possible. Making Jesus' name known throughout our city. So that every person that walks through these doors, and even those that never walk through the doors, they can sense these words. You belong here. You belong. And not only do you belong, we want them to know this is a home. Right? This is the house of God. We want them to know when they walk in, we want to say, welcome home, man. We're glad you are here. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter all the sins you've committed. It doesn't matter what you look like, smell like, what kind of clothes you're wearing, what kind of stuff you've got or don't have. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or you got nothing at all. We are here to tell you, welcome home. We're glad you're here. There was a prophetic word from a dear friend of ours, Pastor Priscilla Wright, who came here on November 12th. In an evening service, she released these words, and I feel like not only were they prophetic, but they were accurate. God gave a vision to us through these words. I want you to turn your attention toward the screens, and then at the end of this video, I want you to celebrate the goodness of God. Would you go ahead, turn your attention toward the screens as we listen in. Prophetic word. Go ahead and take a look.
It's time for the reaping. Every seed you sown, everything that you planted, every every prayer you prayed, every decree you made, every declaration, every prophecy spoken over you. I release you into your reaping season. You've been waiting on a harvest for a long, long time. But God said, now you're entering in. It's time to reap the things you have sown in the name of Jesus.
More churches planted, more divine healings, more vision, more guidance. We ask you, Lord, for more. More disciples being released into their giftings and service to the kingdom of God. More believers finding their destiny in you and through you, giving of their time and talent and treasure. This, Lord, is good ground. And you're going to do, Lord, what is exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think or even imagine. Lord, if you're going to do it anywhere, do it here at Dothan First. Help us to win a lost city at any cost. Help us, God, to have your eyes to see what you want us to see, where you want us to go, what you want us to do. Lord, to become what you want us to become. Give us your vision. Lord, it's not for our name, but it's for your name, oh God. And we will be sure to give you the praise, you the honor, you the glory. It's in your name we pray it all. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Now, in just a minute, we're going to rejoice and celebrate. But I love the opportunity to invite you into the family. So in just a moment, I'm going to simply do this. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to invite you into relationship with Jesus Christ, the only one that can save you, free you, make you brand new. The Bible says he can take your sins and throw them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you. So if you'll bow your heads with me for just a moment, and if you say, Mark, I want to be included in the family. In this moment, I want to say yes to Jesus. For some of you, you might be coming home today. Maybe you've been away from God. Others of you in this room, you might say, Mark, honestly, if I'm being honest with myself, there's sin that's separating me from God. And for others of you, this may be your first time, and you're saying, Mark, I want to be part of the family of God. Man, I want heaven as my home. I want to know that I'm saved and that I am God's child. Today, if that's you in any of those categories, I'm going to ask you to do this right now. Would you simply do this while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Would you simply slip up your hand, say, Mark, that's me. Include me right now in this prayer. Come on, right now, all over this place. God bless you. Yes. Anybody else? That's you today. God bless you. Yes, over here. God bless you. Anybody else? That's you. Mark, include me in the prayer right now. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I'll just wait another moment longer. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to invite, yes, God bless you. In the balcony, on the main floor, yes. God bless you. You can put your hands down, about five or six hands that I saw lifted. We're going to pray this prayer of faith right now, and I want everyone in this room to pray it out loud but especially you who say, Mark, that's me, and you lifted your hand. Can you pray this out loud with me? Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I repent for all I've done wrong. I believe that you died for me, and you rose again for me. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. I choose to trust you with every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we just give a shout of praise unto God today for his victorious work that's happening all over this earth? Now, here's what I want us to do. I'm going to release you with a blessing, but we're going to go out praising. And you can stay here as long as you want until the lights go off. To those ushers, say, you don't have to stay here, or you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. But I want to say a blessing over you, and then I'm going to invite you back this evening where we talk more specifically about the vision, what God's done, what he's doing, what's coming. We're going to release and install our new deacons this evening as well. So excited about that. But would you just extend your hands like you're receiving a blessing today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you receive that blessing hand of God, not to receive it, to keep it to yourself, but to give it away. Just like those early New Testament disciples did, that they received the Holy Spirit and they gave him away to everyone they met through their love, their time, their talent, their treasure. That you release God's heart to this hurting city. I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One more time, put your hands together and celebrate.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with us at Dothan1ST.org or follow us on social media at Dothan1ST. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we would love to have you join us this Sunday at 10 a.m.